Well, I want to say thank you for all of you that have been a part of this, and then back away to say thank you to Brother Stephen. When this idea came to our staff last fall, it was immediately received with enthusiasm. We've done some things similar to this, never 24 hours, but over the last 30 years, we've done some 12-hour prayer meetings, you know, through the night, but never something that's covered a 24-hour period. So those of us who have been here for a few years, we thought, boy, this would be great to see if students would be interested in being a part of this again. And so our staff leadership and students just really got excited about it. And so I am just very grateful for the vision that Brother Stephen has had and our staff has had to see this come to pass. Cooper has been key in a lot of the logistics. And thank you for those who are joining us live stream who may or may not be familiar with the mission of Bob Jones University. This is a Christian liberal arts university, but that doesn't mean everybody here is a Christian. We have some students that are here that need Christ, and we've been praying for them specifically. And thank you for joining us and praying for them. But the rest of us need reviving as well. And direct our attention just briefly to Psalm 62. Psalm 62, a prayer of David in the midst of trouble, seeking for relief, having one of those divinely inspired, overheard private conversations with himself. One of the neat things over the years has been to try to look at the Psalms particularly and trace the "O My Souls," where David is having direct conversation with himself, and God gives us the opportunity to listen in. It was D. Martin Lloyd-Jones who reminded us in his book, Spiritual Depression, that it's always better to talk to ourselves than to listen to ourselves. And that's because David demonstrates that. Verse 5 of Psalm 62 says, "My soul," we're overhearing a private conversation, "wait thou only upon God. For my expectation or my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God." The end of verse 8, God is a refuge for us. If you just look through all of those descriptors for our God, he's a rock, he's the salvation, he's my defense, he's my salvation, he's my rock, he's my refuge, he's my refuge. You get the sense that David was trying to point himself to something that was immovable. I think maybe it was Calvin that said our hearts are idol factories. Well, I think our hearts are also emotional whirlpools. We experience life and the highs and the lows and find ourselves responding to those things oftentimes in a way that's less than right. And we have to get out of the whirlpool. We've got to slow it down. We've got to say, wait a minute. I can't allow what I'm feeling to dictate truth. And so no doubt David was in dire straits and was probably facing circumstances we can only conceive of, but he decided that he wouldn't necessarily listen to himself. He'd actually speak the truths about his God to himself. And so these wonderful stabilizing metaphors are what God, or what David uses to settle his troubled heart. So I would just, first of all, encourage us to practice the discipline of speaking God's truth to ourselves in whatever opposition or struggle we're facing. And then the second thing is just that in verse 8, because God is all those things, trust in him at all times. You people, pour out your heart before him. You might get like me sometimes, a little self-conscious. You're praying to the Lord and you're thinking, oh boy, I don't know if I want to say that. That sounds a little disrespectful. Or I'm not sure I'm really proud of what that sounds like. I'm talking to God. God actually says, I know your heart. Your heart's deceitful. It's desperately wicked. But pour it out to me. Pour everything out to me because I'm a refuge for you. And that's what we've been doing here. Maybe it's not been about all internal confession of sin, although I'm sure some of the devotionals that we've heard over the last 20 hours have been about that, and that those are certainly valuable. But I would encourage us, too, to pour out our hearts specifically about the needs that we have for God to work. We're getting toward the end. Some of you have been a part of this prayer meeting a lot longer than I have, and I'm sure it's getting tiring. And again, the admonition sounds like from before was about continuing in prayer. And I would just urge us as we reach the end of this prayer session together, speak truth to ourselves, but then let's pour out our hearts to God. If you need something to pour out your heart about, and I'm sure you don't, you've got plenty of things to pour your heart out to the Lord for. Would you pour out your heart to the Lord for God to revive his work at Bob Jones University? I need that in my own life. My faculty, staff, brothers and sisters need that in their lives. Our students need this. We need God to work. And so may that encourage us. Not to be self-conscious when we pray, but actually to enthusiastically, wholeheartedly pour out our hearts to the Lord, confident that he's not going to chide us or rebuke us, but he's going to be our refuge, hear us. And as Brother Stephen opened up the prayer meeting last night, waiting on the Lord for him to work, this is what we need.